All right, we are back for session 9, and we're going to talk a little bit about decision making.
Yeah, as a deacon, you're going to be involved at some point making decisions. The next two sessions, this one is just on a process to help you make good decisions as a body of people who have responsibility. Then the next session, we'll talk about finances and some of the ways you can, finances always enter into ministry decisions, and so how you can effectively and successfully define the finances of your church. So let's go. Decision making. What I want to do is I'll walk you through some steps to making good decisions. I have been parts of church bodies, church leadership bodies that have done them very poorly.
Decision making can be hard. You know, I like to consider myself a little bit of a go with the flow person. Sometimes I can be kind of indecisive, and decision making can be tough, and I think it's such an important area as a church we need to be equipped on.
Yeah. And it depends a little bit on the style of leadership in your church. You know, I always figured, hey, if people just gave me the right to make all the decisions, the world would be a better place. But nobody's done that yet. So, So, how do you go about as a group making some good decisions? And I'm going to run through them, and then we're going to look at a scenario that would just apply the principles, and then you can look at them. First of all, define the decision or the problem that
right.
is.
Right, what's needing to be the yes or no?
Right. Is it what is it? Is it a pattern of ministry? A ministry that needs to be cut out? We're going to look at conflict later, and there are some ways to do that. But what is the decision? What is the problem you are trying to solve within your ministry? And as a deacon, it might be anything you can think of that would say, well, we got to cut our budget, or we have to make a new budget, or we got to expand the budget. How do you go about define it as best you can? Mm-hmm. What do we need to do here? The example I'm going to give you later is about a church that was facing a budget crisis, and they had to decide whether to continue a particular ministry. That was the decision they gathered to make that night that we met. So you define it as best you can. Continue the ministry, stop the ministry. Fire a staff person. Hire a staff person. What is the decision? As best you can, number two, is identify the various choices. And so, what are the choices we can make here? And try to list as many as you can. We're going to expand ministry, or, in church I serve in California, what are we going to do? We've got, a growth problem. That sounds terrible. But we were in five services at one point, and it was becoming untenable. And so, what are we going to do? And so, what are our choices? Well, we can start a daughter church within the community. We can do an extension where we do a video. That's a video venue is what it was called back then, where we start and have another ministry somewhere else in town, and we get people there. We can decide we're going to stay where we are and just do what we do. That is a possible choice. Get as much information as possible about each of the choices.
Right.
And then...
Was there a cost to each of them? Is there...
Right. And with the relocation thing, it was everything we found would cost at least $1 million.
That information is important for making the decision.
And we needed information about which of the choices would even be possible. I talked to you about the city, going to the city, and that the city of Chino was part of the problem for my friend. Would it even be possible to put up the kind of facility that we wanted to, that we felt we needed to minister in the future? Get as much information as possible. Project the consequences of each choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you plant a daughter church, what are, as best as we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what's going to be the outcome of this particular choice? What's going to be the outcome of that one?
Who would be leading this daughter church? Who would, what part of the church would start attending that daughter church? All of that are consequences.
Who would it be? And I know CLI has been through some big decisions in the past couple of years.
Yes.
As far as choices about, you know, seeking accreditation with whom. And, yeah, so much as you can. Okay, here are our choices. Now, what might happen if we do this? Number five, apply the values of your organization. In other words, what's important to you? What do you see as the, this is what it's got to be. Because this is what we believe. This is what is valuable to us. Now, you know, the values of your organization, hopefully you've got them written down somewhere, or at least, you know, it's a discussion. What do you value? Do you value, you know, personal? If you value the pastor knowing everybody, your choices are going to be limited because you can only have a church of about 100 people. If you value not taking any financial risk at any time, your choices are going to be limited. If you value outreach into the community, that's saying we've got to connect with the poor in this community, and if you're a deacon, that's probably one of your values. Apply that to your choices. Then communicate clearly and often to your church. You know, one of the worst things that churches can have is a surprise.
Mm, right, somebody's been thinking about something for a while, but they're not communicating
right.
it.
Right, and it's like dumped on the church. Worst leadership experience I ever had was when we were in California, we decided to change the name of the church. Mm. Now, we did that because the name was Calvary, and it turns out there were two large churches in our community, each over 1,000, that were Calvary chapels. And constantly, you know, one time we ordered some choir risers and didn't come.
Oh,
and
went to the wrong
they went to
Calvary.
The other church. And people would join us thinking we were them, and people would join them thinking they were us. And so we decided, okay, we were just relocating. We had just built a new campus. And 1,500-seat sanctuary buildings, or preschool, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we were going to be just a little less than a mile away from one of these two churches. Mm-hmm. So we said, we got to change. I'm good at process. Developed this whole process, came to, but we didn't communicate everything to the congregation. We put a congregational meeting to decide the new name between our two of our three morning services. And thought, this is a slam dunk. Oh, things went south really fast. Somebody grabbed the mic out. There was anger. There was all kinds of stuff. Because we hadn't communicated clearly why are we doing this. And and so people's emotions got going. People were
connected to the name. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't see how important the decision to make that was,
right.
One
dear person got up and said, you know, I came to Christ in Calvary Church. And he's saying, good.
Right.
For that person, there was needs that we hadn't anticipated. And if we had communicated more clearly, hopefully we'd been, and, you know, used some listening groups and that sort of thing, we could have heard this stuff and addressed it. But so communicate clearly.
Right, because then communicating that clearly, everyone could have bought into being a part of wanting to go, yeah, we need this name change. This is going to help,
Right. So that is vital, you know, public announcements, small group meetings, listening times. Make sure when you're making a big decision that you've communicated clearly and often. And then, number seven, make your decision and walk out with courage and boldness, and know you've done your homework, and then the last is to track the consequences, what happens, and make adjustments accordingly. Okay, so here's the problem in this church I was serving as an interim pastor, budget constraints. The church, as many in the United States, had declined rather precipitously during the pandemic, and You know, most churches lost 40 to 60% of their worship attendance and membership income. And so now they're looking and saying, what do we do? And so I began looking at each ministry. And one of the biggies was the 11 a.m. bilingual service. 10 years before, they had begun this service because they realized there were a lot of people whose the first language within the home was Spanish, but the children were English speaking and were bilingual. Mm-hmm. And so they started this service, which was bilingual, that it was in both languages at the same time. And so they began listing the choices. Well, we can keep things the same and cut one of our other ministries, another staff person maybe, or we could transition it to all Spanish because it was felt like, you know, maybe that's the community that, maybe we could get more of them. Spin off the bilingual service as a separate church plant with a separate, you know, elders, separate deacons, pastor separate and responsible for their own finances. Have them become a sister church, which isn't our daughter church, but okay. And they rent from us. How to merge the services, making all the services, both services, bilingual, or we could end the ministry. Now, getting the information, 10-year history, the top attendance was about 45 to 60 regularly. The present attendance hovered in the 20s at a cost of around $60,000 per year. Hired a part-time pastor who was bilingual, hired a music person who directed the musicians for that, and that was, so no rent. It was just paying those two people as well as producing what else was needed. $60,000 a year. The other piece of information was most of the professions of faith and conversions were happening in that, among that group of people. And looked at the community, and about 7% of the immediate community within a mile radius of the church were indeed bilingual in their home. And then the question about, do we have the right people? Is the right pastor the right person? Again, looking at values. In the 1960s, this church made a decision to stay in that community. A community in the 60s was changing rapidly and vastly. It was becoming very multi-ethnic. And many of the churches within that community had moved to a suburb area where their people had moved in the white flight times. This church had made a commitment to minister to the community. And so they had a variety of programs. They had a very successful tutoring program. They had a food program on Saturday mornings provided food for people who were food insecure. And they had incredible congregational support. As soon as the word got out, my goodness, my emails got full, because as soon as the word got out that we were looking at the bilingual service, man, I had people coming to me right and left saying, what are you thinking of doing? And, you know, interim pastor is not always a friend, they're seen as a friend of the congregation. And since I'm from outside, they thought I was destroying stuff that was very valuable to them, et cetera, et cetera. Huge congregational support. And so we started communicating. We communicated to the full congregation, and indeed that we are having these discussions. And we communicated to the bilingual service, and we had three meetings to discuss our options. And they were translated meetings. I speak Spanish, but boy, I'm always grateful for a translator in those situations. But we had people from the bilingual service who came, and you know, they could discuss their viewpoint. People from who were supportive financially and supportive with their presence. Some of them didn't even speak Spanish, knew no Spanish, but they came. It was bilingual. They came to be supportive. So we did three meetings, and we discussed. And it was a fascinating kind of discussion. So what did we do? Well, This is a picture of part of the food program at this church, out of which the bilingual ministry came. The decision was to keep things mostly the same, but to create greater opportunities to mix the congregations, because they were two basically different congregations. Mm. So we created opportunities, and one of them was the food program. They went through the same process with the food program and decided that the food program had to be turned over to the people who were using it. And again, the ABCD, the asset base, got some terrific people from that program who ran it, and it became totally, we held it in the building, but they ran it. And so we decided, okay, we're going to, out of all those options, the option is we're going to keep it. We're going to keep that bilingual service. We're going to do some minor adjustments in timing and especially interaction with the others. But it was based on the value of we don't want to abandon something that we've been providing for our community that nobody else does.
Yeah.
And we began tracking the consequences. Now, I'm now a year and a half past the time I was with them. That service is still going, but the question is being faced again, because once again, the attendance has dipped into the 20s. I took a jump as we began to make some changes. And so I don't know what they're going to decide on that part of it, but they have a process to follow. Now, let's think of some other decisions that just thinking about these things, what would be a problem that a decision that has to be made that we could say, let's run this through that grid.
Yeah. Yeah, decision of adding a program. You know, right now at CLI, we're making some decisions about, should we kind of explore going more into the high school curriculum? You know, and it's something that's come up again and again, and so we're in the process again of going, is this something that we should begin to put our resources and our time towards?
Right. So, you identify the various choices. You can head that direction. You can head that direction partially. You can provide something and see how does it go, a kind of a test program. Can go whole hog into it or, get as much information as possible. Is there a market for this kind of ministry situation?
Right, and that's kind of the process, using our example we've been in, where it's like I've met with all these different people who are in this space, and the resounding thing keeps being, this is a market that's growing, this is a market that's growing. So that information is so informative versus if we had gotten there and people are saying, it's good and there's a need, but there wasn't this resounding interest that we're seeing, that would very likely change the decision that we may make.
Right. And so project the consequences. You could try and bound, and there would certainly be financial implications of making that choice. The values of the organization certainly are providing training. The beginning of CLI, the value was we want to provide training for people who otherwise could not get it.
Yes.
And provide quality, not just training, but quality training.
Good training, yeah.
Those and others. Is that the group? Communicate clearly enough. It sounds like you've been in that process of looking at who's out there and who might use this, and who are the stakeholders that might be interested in this, and then decide. Yeah, that would be fun. When in California, when I retired in ministry and began to do more of the interim stuff, and even when I moved from the Southern California church to Michigan, I said I never want to see another building program in my life. Because while I was in California, we did one major addition to the church. We proposed a huge addition, which we just we were having trouble getting permits from the city. What we had proposed was that we redo our whole building so that we had a 1,000-seat sanctuary, and we had another supportive building that we were going to build, a family life center. And the city said, you don't have parking. We had to do all kinds of study about parking. And anyway, we finally got to the point where they said, okay, we'll give you permits to start. And three influential people from the church and I were out to lunch and looked at each other and says, we're really stupid. Says, if we do this, it's going to limit the ministry of this church for the future. Every decision is going to be based from now on.
Right.
It's going to be based on what we have done. We should stop and look at relocation. So we spent the next year stepping back and looking at relocation, and we ended up, thankfully, we had raised a lot of money at that point, which, you know, we had to go to the people who had given that money and said, we're looking at using it for something else. And, anyway, long story short, we looked at, what do we do? Do we plant a daughter church? Do we expand our facility? Do we relocate? Was a new choice that we had to look at. And so we looked at it. That was the choice that we ended up with. We projected it would be 3 years, and it took 6.5. But today, there's a church that's ministering there that has now 3 congregations. They've got an Anglo-English-speaking congregation. Not Anglo, English-speaking, because it's a variety of ethnic backgrounds. But they have a Chinese church, and they've got a Korean church all meeting in that facility. And that never would have happened if we had stayed where we were. Now, you know, projecting consequences of that, boy, there were some we didn't see. There were many we did see. You know, some of them were, you know, big financial consequences. And, you know, could we raise that money? You know, turned out to be a lot. There were personal consequences that I didn't see as far as what that was going to do to me. Anyway, so it's a pattern, you know, an 8-step pattern to use if you've got a decision to make and it affects ministry. If you're a deacon, I don't know what all that could be, but there are going to be many of the choices you make about what community ministries do you become part of, where do you invest your time. Personal decisions. This is good for personal decisions.
Right. You know? Same formula you can definitely use in personal decisions as well.
Looking at buying a new car, buying a new house, whatever.
Great. Formula to use with your spouse.
Right. Okay. So, next time we're going to look at finances and talk about deacons and finances. So we'll see you then.